Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Eden Assignment. I am Master Karen. I am Karen Eden. I am Karen Eden Herdman, just to clarify. Well, guys, I want to talk to you today about bridges. Just recently, I was in the eastern plains of Colorado, a little town called Lamar, and they have this bridge that's pretty well noted. I didn't know it at the time when I was at that bridge, but I later researched it. And it was a very prolific bridge, in the late 1890s, early 1900s, somewhere around there. And it was a way for people to be able to cross the Arkansas River. The Arkansas River is very long. It can be very wide at times, but it's not a very rough, raging river. It's relatively calm, at least in all the places I've seen it at. And in the Eastern Plains, it's a very calm river. But at this particular time, I'm looking at this bridge pulled over to the side of the road, and I just feel like, you know, I have a decision right now. I can either cross this bridge to see where it goes, to see what's on the other side, to see what I can see, or I can just stay here and always just wonder where this bridge leads and what I'm going to see. Well, if you know me, you probably already know what I did. I went under that bar. There were no danger signs, no keep out, no trespassing signs, nothing like that. But I went under the little bar. It was part of the bridge. I don't know how to describe it. It's a very old bridge. And I started to walk across this bridge. What I saw on this bridge was a view that there's no way I could have seen from the county road that was about 200 to 300 yards away from this bridge. If I was driving along the road and didn't take the time to stop, I never would have noticed, because the bridge is actually blocking the view from the county road. Ladies and gentlemen, this looked kind of like a Courier and Ives postcard, if you know what that is. I can only imagine what it would have been like to be in a horse-drawn cart or a buggy, which this bridge was designed for, to go across this bridge in the winter, seeing the snow on the banks and the cottonwood trees, and hearing the sound of a very calm river. How beautiful that must have been at that time. But if I didn't cross that bridge, I never would have seen that view. So I'm walking across this bridge, and then I notice something. I look down, and I see wildcat tracks. I thought, well, that's pretty cool, because I've never seen wildcat tracks in person. And I keep walking across the bridge, and then I go, wait a minute. I'm on a bridge, okay? If there is a wildcat, and it looks like it's a pretty darn big one, I've got one choice, and that's to run to the other side, and I know I'm not going to win that race with a wildcat. At that point, I started to say a little prayer of protection, and I just kept moving on. And I got to the other side of the Arkansas River. Nothing happened. And then I proceeded to walk across to get back to where I parked. There's a really good little meaning in this story, because this bridge was very prominent at one time. It was the only way to cross the Arkansas River. Many a horse, a carriage, and a buggy went across this bridge. But today, it really doesn't have a lot of usefulness, according to, why you would need a bridge in the first place. But just because it was considered a useless bridge because of the county road now that parallels it, doesn't mean it didn't have a story to tell, and it doesn't mean that it didn't have an incredible usage if you're someone who needed to see what was the site on that bridge. There's no way you could have accessed the things that you can see from the road, from that bridge. So I think to myself, a lot of times the things that used to be useful, you know, today considered no longer useful, they tend to be the quiet ones in terms of people, not the ones that are loud and drinking at the bar. You're going to hear stories told from people who really don't have a whole lot to say and stand apart and stand aside and have distance. They're the ones who have the story to tell you, the story of the things that you can learn. Just an interesting note about bridges and how that can play into the things that you no longer consider useful in this world. Maybe there's some people out there you no longer think are useful. Well, they may be the ones that have the greatest story and the greatest view. Something else interesting about bridges. When I stood at that bridge and I had the decision that I could either cross it or not cross it, that was something I had to contemplate at that time. See, I wasn't worried about whether or not I could or should cross that bridge the day earlier, the day before. I wasn't worried about it a week before. Certainly wasn't worried about it months before or years before. I had to be right there at that bridge before I made the decision and before I could assess whether or not I wanted to cross it. Sometimes I think we do go through life and we're so worried about the bridges we have to cross, when the truth is we have to make that assessment when we get to the bridge. Now, everybody, every human being on this planet doesn't have a clue what the future would hold outside of those who are very gifted. There's a lot of things to worry about in the future, especially in this day and age, but there's really nothing you can do about it. If there's nothing you can do about it, you need to not worry about crossing bridges before you get there. There's another bridge, I don't know, maybe 45 minutes or so away from this particular bridge that I was telling you about in Lamar, Colorado. And it connects the mainland to an island called Beecher's Island. Now, Beecher's Island is a very historical island if you're into understanding Indian wars and Indian ways. It was considered by many to be the last Cheyenne Dog Soldier War in Colorado. And just let me briefly set this up for you because it's very interesting, Beecher's Island. At the time, they were the pioneers or the frontiersmen were coming over. They were taking the land. There's really no way, a pretty way to put it. And the Cheyenne Indians, one of three Indian Plains Indian tribes out here, obviously wanted to defend their territory and defend their families and their people. So they created a particular task of warriors, and they called them dog soldiers. And they had certain rituals that, you know, if you ever saw them do these rituals, you know, you need to know that one of you is not going to go home. Somebody's going to die. A particular ritual, and I'll just tell you, it's where they take a spear and they take a red sash and they pin that sash to the ground. That is a war cry right there. But anyway, the Cheyenne Dog Soldiers that were in the area under the leadership of Chief Roman Nose, that was his name, and if you look at his picture, you can see why. But anyway, the U.S. cavalrymen thought, okay, we've been on the road. We need to take a break. We're going to go over to Beecher's Island. It was somewhat of the resort back then, I guess. You have the river. Obviously, it's an island, and you could just kind of get some rest and relaxation. Well, bad mistake, because when they were attacked by the Cheyenne Dog Soldiers, unfortunately, they were on an island. Again, very bad move. Kind of like with the wildcat being on the bridge, and, you know, a very bad move. This is a battle that ensued, an Indian war that ensued for several days. Nobody really won that particular battle because both leaders were taken out. Chief Romanos was taken out, and Beecher was taken out. It was a brutal battle, a brutal war, even though it only lasted for a few days, and it's very well documented. But the interesting part about the bridge that goes from the mainland to Beecher's Island is that today there is no water underneath that bridge. There's only you'll see some reeds and maybe some tall grass. But if you didn't know by that historical marker, the stone marker that's there, the landmark, you'd never know that anything happened because the island now is completely part of the land. It has been encroached upon and is completely part of land. Maybe in some parts you'll see a little trickle that'll go by. So if I were to get to that bridge, I would say to myself, you know, I really don't need to cross the bridge because I could literally just go down and just walk across. But see, I wouldn't have known that if I didn't get to that bridge. I certainly didn't worry about it the day before. I didn't worry about it the weeks before. Certainly didn't worry about it the months before and the years before. So why do we worry about it, guys? Why are we worrying about bridges we may have to cross before we get to the bridge. You're putting yourself in a situation where you're going to drive yourself crazy. How do I know that? Well, because I've been there. I've worried about crossing bridges that I knew I probably would have to cross and didn't know how I was going to cross them. But it would have been totally different if I would have went to that bridge and seen it. Well, there's no water. There's no danger. I could walk across. You know, there's a view. There's that is not going to be accessible any other way. I got to get to the middle of this bridge so I can see this view, so I could understand what it was like to be in a carriage or a cart drawn by horses going across this narrow bridge. These are things I wouldn't know until I got there, guys. In this day and age where there's so many what ifs, and I say this all the time because it sits heavy in my heart that so many people now are turning to antidepressants and anti-anxiety medication, and the doctors are dispensing it like candy, when so many people, they don't have to do that. Some people have to do that. If you're born with chemical imbalances, you need to do that. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about people who all of a sudden go, I'm scared of the bridge I might have to cross. And they go to the doctor and they get numbed up, numbed down. They get numbed. That is not the answer when you first haven't sought out the spiritual reasoning behind things. It's very important that everybody understand that there's a spiritual journey that they've been called to take. And until you take that spiritual journey and you start walking that walk, you're not going to have any peace about crossing bridges, about what could happen in the future. You have to understand that we all go through hard times, guys. This is a hard time for a lot of people. People worried about dying from COVID. People worried about their businesses being shut down or losing business because of it. People worried about relationships. Is it going to last? Are we going to make it? Can I take back that fight and that argument I had? Can I make it better? Can I do better? I didn't do better again. Now what do I do? How am I going to handle this in the future? I want to encourage you to cross all bridges when you get there. Don't be crossing bridges in your mind. You're going to drive yourself crazy. Cross the bridges when you get there and assess it. And trust that you'll have the wisdom and the knowledge and the expertise that you need, and you'll have God by your side to help you make the right decision at the right time. But there's no use worrying about dying right now from COVID when you don't have COVID. I mean, this is a real problem for people who are terrified of dying. I was recently in Yorktown, Virginia, and just doing some studies and doing some Native American research and that kind of thing. I was in a particular museum. I saw a couple there. I had a mask on, dude, all this stuff. Don't worry. I know what's going on. Wouldn't go in the room. I'm like, excuse me, is there a reason why we can't go in this particular room? And he's like, well, I don't want to go in there because there's already somebody in there. And he goes, I'm social distancing. Matter of fact, you're too close to me. So knowing, you know, you got to know me. I just literally went around the other way and went in the room the other way. It's like, well, whatever, dude, stand there and watch me. I'm not going to wait for you to get over your fear of dying or whatever's going on in your head right now. I want to live. I want to live my life. I don't want to worry about dying. This guy's so worried about dying, he won't go in a museum room? I got news for you. You're going to die. It's going to happen. Everybody's going to die. But how about we not worry about that till we get there? How about we go on and live our lives and we have good things in our lives and we give goodness to other people? And we worry about dying from COVID when we have to actually get there. Can you do it? You can if you're on a spiritual journey. My Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said, take no thought for tomorrow, because tomorrow is going to have enough issues. I want you to worry about today. I want you to make today good. I want you to be blessed today, and I want you to give blessing to everybody else today. Don't worry about the other stuff. I'll be with you. He said, you know, you look at the lilies. Aren't they beautiful? Who do you think dressed those lilies? You see the birds in the air? Do they ever fall out from starvation? I've never seen a bird die from starvation. How is that possible? Because he said, Father God in heaven knows what you need, and he's going to take care of you. Don't you know you're more important than flowers and birds? You're his children. Don't you know he'll take care of you? This is A1 white belt stuff, guys. And that's how you start your spiritual journey. You start as a white belt. And that's basic stuff you learn in Sunday school. If you didn't go to Sunday school, you got a lot of catching up to do. But that's the basic understanding that God will take care of you because you're his child. There are bridges all across this country. There are bridges who need major repair. If you're worried about crossing a bridge from 1900 where a wildcat might be on it, I got news for you, some of the people that live near rivers. I lived in Pittsburgh for about 13 years. Some of those bridges, the way they swayed and moved around and the way the reports would come out about how they're starting to deteriorate, I don't know why they don't shut them down. I guess they can't, but man, it's way scarier than a wildcat on a bridge from the 1900s, some of these bridges today. Shall I worry about crossing one of the three rivers in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, if I go back because I'm worried about the engineering of the bridge now is compromised. The rust, it's starting to rust through. You know, it's a problem everywhere. It's a major problem. Google it. Am I going to worry about it? Miss going to the entire city of Pittsburgh because I'm worried about crossing one of the bridges? You know, Pittsburgh is surrounded by three rivers. The city of Pittsburgh. It intersects or it meets the point of three rivers meets the confluence in downtown Pittsburgh. You've got to cross a bridge somewhere. Got to. I don't know. Should I go get some Xanax because I might have to cross a bridge in Pittsburgh? Let me think about it. That is scary. I have no plans to even go to Pittsburgh, but I might go there again someday. You know, I might go back. Maybe I should start taking the drugs now so I won't have anxiety when I cross that bridge. Does that sound silly? Well, guess who sounds silly? You worrying about all the stuff that hasn't happened yet. What's the difference? Quit worrying about stuff. Walk your spiritual journey like you serve a living God, ladies and gentlemen. He's still on the throne and he's got you. He's got you. It's a very easy concept and principle. People are like, well, I don't know how to do that. It's not hard. There are some tools available to you. One is the Bible that you have somewhere that you need to really just dust off really quick and start reading. Basic stuff. I'm going to give you some very basic principles right now because I have some time and I think you need to know these things. Jesus Christ said every day, say the Lord's Prayer. Say it every day. Why? Because he said to say it. Because in that prayer is everything you need to get through that day. Protection, deliverance, blessing, supplying your needs, everything you need is in that prayer. Learn it, say it by heart every single day when you wake up. Say that prayer. Pull out your Bible. It's your sword. Start with the book of Mark. It's in the New Testament. Go on and read some of the Pauline epistles. Mark, Acts, Romans. Start with Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Keep going until you get to about Jude because it teaches you how to be on a spiritual journey. It's stuff you need to know. And that's stuff you need to know. It's a good place to start. You need to have a conversation, a dialogue with God every single day. You say the Lord's Prayer, but throughout your day you need to constantly have him in your breath. Constantly. This will develop your faith and help you get to the point of your journey where you have a system of trust, where you're not going to panic and have to do one of those 911 calls that people do when things go wrong in their life, and they feel like, well, God may not even be hearing me. God's so far away up there. The reason you feel that way is because you haven't had a dialogue with him. It's like going back to your great aunt who had a lot of money, and you need money, and all of a sudden you got to go talk to her and ask her to help you because you're in a dire situation. You're like, well, what if she doesn't even want to talk to me? What if she's not happy to see me? I haven't been in touch with her. It's the same way spiritually. If you keep that dialogue open with Aunt Gertie, Great Aunt Gertie, she's probably going to say, no problem. But if you get into situations where you feel uncomfortable spiritually, but you know you need spiritual help, then you're going to have the quick 911 version of reaching out. Listen, God is gracious. He's still there for you no matter what. But I'm trying to help you with your spiritual journey. You need to keep a spiritual dialogue open. You need to grow close. You need to draw near. You need to get so close that the very air you breathe feels like you're breathing God. It's a God air. Get that close to know He's always with you, will never leave you, will never forsake you. Listen, I'm trying to help you not have to get on antidepressants, okay? Your spiritual journey will keep you in perfect peace. The Bible says, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind stays on me. Your mental stability. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, with things that happen in this world, you don't have a choice but to believe. And if you're not skilled in that area, it's just like if you're not skilled in martial arts, you can't defend yourself. Teach your children, teach the young people how to have a spiritual journey. It's just as important as teaching them how to eat right, how to get enough exercise, how to go to bed in time. It's just as important in teaching them, you've got to go to school, you've got to graduate, you need to think about college or trade school or whatever. You know how you give them that input and they go, yeah, yeah, and you're nagging them? And you do it because your mom and or dad? Well, you need to do it spiritually, guys. Don't let them play out in the street where cars are coming and they don't know they need to get out of the way. Don't let that happen. Teach them spiritual ways and spiritual things so that when you're long gone from this world, they'll be able to carry on and not have to call the doctor for anxiety and depression medication every time the world gets crazy, every time their world gets crazy. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a chemical imbalance, I'm not knocking you. You do what you need to do. If you were born that way, correct it and fix it. I'm talking about people who can't handle the slightest thing because they don't have any spiritual balance. Kind of a tough thing, tough lesson today. I understand that, but it's necessary. It's very necessary. Even when you have spiritual balance and you're on your spiritual journey, that's hard enough. Putting back all the physicality of this world and turning your eyes toward heaven to believe, that can be challenging enough. But you need to keep developing that, guys, and you need to keep studying to show yourself approved. Keep understanding what it is you need to do and how you need to do it spiritually. Seek it. Don't put it away. Don't put it behind you. Don't think it's a riddle, a childhood thing. Don't do that, because I'm telling you, the wages of sin is death. What does that mean? Well, it just means that, you know, all the bad things, the thoughts of fear and the anxiety, all those things that can come upon you that aren't good, that don't come from God, will take you out. The wages of sin is death. That's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus Christ said. But the gift of God, the gift of Father God, is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is your power source. It's my power source. So you know I'm religious. Now you know. If you didn't know, I am. So there you go. All right, guys. Got some stuff coming up here. Oh, let's see. Things are loosening up here. I've got some appearances coming up in March. I don't know if you're going to be there, but I'm going to be in the area of Charlotte, North Carolina. Going to go out and do some work with my Lumbee brothers and sisters in the Lumbee tribe out there. Nothing else. Just say a prayer for us, because, you know, what Native American needs a lot of prayer. We all do, but they really do. They really do. A lot of going on. A lot of things that aren't good going on. They feel trapped. They feel helpless. So anyway, that's going to be in March, like the first, second week of March. Then I have a speaking engagement in Southwest Virginia. It's not West Virginia. It's not Southwest Virginia. It's Southwestern Virginia in the state of Virginia, around Tazewell. So if you're in that area, let me know. It's going to be about the third week of March. Then let's see, what else do I have? Yes. Cleveland Hall of Fame. The first week of April, April the 10th, Cleveland Hall of Fame. You can Google that and contact the people in charge of that. And I don't really want to give names because I don't really know who's in charge, but you can contact Don DeVries. Absolutely. It's a good time. It's going to be a good time. I'm extra proud to be able to be the guest speaker and holding a seminar at the Cleveland Hall of Fame, obviously in Cleveland, Ohio. And the reason why I'm extra proud is because I'm a major Steeler fan. But don't tell them that, okay? No, I told you, I lived there for 13 years. How can I not be a Steeler fan? Still honored. Love my brothers and sisters in MMA, martial arts in Cleveland. Thank you so much. Don DeVries, you guys, A.J. Perry, thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. I'm truly honored. Not too many women have been inducted into that particular Hall of Fame. Actually, not too many martial arts females get inducted into too many Hall of Fames. There are some that induct a lot, but most of them, you know, you got to realize it's been kind of a man's thing for a long time. I'm not bitter about it. It just is what it is. You know, more men have been in martial arts. It's changed a lot in the last decade or so, but, you know, women are kind of the newcomers to it. So we're getting here. It's good stuff. I have 4 books out. Google them and buy them. Please do. And thank you for supporting my monthly magazine columns. If you want to see the pictures of the bridge that I'm talking about from the late 1890s that were in Eastern Plains of Colorado, I'm going to post that, post the pictures of the bridge, the view from the bridge, in the Eden Assignment Inspirational Series, which is where I post all of my blogs and my magazine writings and things like that. So you can go to the Eden Assignment. It's the group page. The Eden Assignment Inspirational Series, I'll let you in. About 4,000 or 5,000 people in there right now. And I'm going to put the pictures on that site. After this runs, it's going to run on my blog once it's done through Blog Talk Radio, if that makes sense. All right? It's all good stuff. We're okay. Listen, you're okay. You're okay. You need to get tough and get on your spiritual journey and start seeking the things that you need to seek to help you keep your mind in perfect peace. That's it. That's all it is, okay? God bless you guys. We'll see you next time on the Eden Assignment. Bye-bye.